Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Senior Technical Manager, Microsoft Corporation, Tim Heuer.
Thank you, everybody. Hopefully everyone can hear me. I want to just thank all of you who are attending live, just like everyone else. I really appreciate you taking the time to come to Redmond, be on campus. Hopefully the power adapters and internet are acceptable. And it's really great to see the turnout both online and here in person. Hello to all my friends online internationally. Hopefully people are up still. And I appreciate everyone coming out and hearing all the sessions. I did want to make a quick announcement. We do have a lot of Silverlight team members that are here today. And we specifically grabbed a lot of the team, both technical, both some developers and the PM team as well, to interact with those who are actually here in person. And as well online, there's a lot of our team members that are watching the Twitter feed to ask questions. So I just want to reiterate that if you have the opportunity outside, at least here live, it's the people wearing the I Love Silverlight shirts with the red lanyards. Please go ahead and tackle them and ask them your toughest questions. I think there's actually a sign out there that says meet the team. But if you haven't had a chance to arm wrestle a team member or something like that, please take the opportunity to do so and beat them up about the feature that you're most concerned about. So please take the opportunity to interact with our team. We're here. We're excited to hear your opinions about the things that you saw today in the keynote, as well as hearing how you're using Silverlight and how we can best adapt to your use. So appreciate it again. Just by way of introductions, my name is Tim Heuer again. I think hopefully my face is not foreign. I try to be as out in the community as much as I can and do a lot of training videos and things like that for you. So it's good to still be involved in the community. I appreciate it. I think our ecosystem is really great with Silverlight. And I enjoy being a big part of it. One of the things, so just to give you a pre-warning, the odd thing about my presentation is I get the sad face here is I have the presentation today that actually has the least amount of Silverlight code. So that's it's going to be interesting. But I wanted to share with you one of the things that we do on a regular basis, but we review this on a bi-monthly basis, is we do some kind of customer service scouting of information. And we gather data from various sources. Silverlight.net forums, our team is very active on, and the support team is active on. Various community blogs, and you know, your sites and other people's sites and things like that. Stack Overflow, if you're not familiar with that site. And as well as our official support channels, the Microsoft support incidents. And we review a lot of the kind of the top issues. And for the past couple reviews that we've had, one issue has risen to the top continuously, and is actually why we're doing this session here today. And this is the issue right here. How many people have seen this screen? Okay, so a lot. You know, Silverlight is it's still fairly young. Our penetration, our market penetration is doing very, very well. You know, I think we're at, I believe the number we quote is something like 2/3 or something like that. I don't know. So Brian's going to shoot me for saying a number, so I probably shouldn't. But until then, you know, there are some times where you have situations where your customers may not have Silverlight installed. And in fact, this really has been the top customer issue is I can't get Silverlight installed. And this, we call this the install badge. And so some of the details on what we've been seeing is, you know, I'm seeing this message, I already have it installed. It works on this browser, it doesn't work on the other browser. And, you know, I see this message and I don't know what I'm installing, right? That last one is the most important to me, and that we'll be talking about in this session, is that install badge means nothing to my mother-in-law, right? I have this theory I call the mother-in-law factor. My mother-in-law, her constant bookmarks in Internet Explorer, she prints them out and puts them on her desk. So, that's the lowest common denominator that we're dealing with in users here. And I'm pretty confident she's not watching, so it's okay. I go to a website and also I type in Netflix.com and I'm presented with this Get Silverlight install badge. That's really hard for the average user to understand. Like, wait a minute, I went to brand A and now you're showing me brand B. And so that's kind of one of the more common things that we get, and that would increase your abandon rate actually. So those kind of three comments boil into the last three bullet points of an initial install, so someone who doesn't have Silverlight installed. the upgrade scenario where, you know, maybe they have Silverlight 2, but your app requires Silverlight 4. And then the final of unsupported scenarios, you know, maybe they're on, maybe they're browsing your site through links or something like that. So we'll cover all of these. And the goal here is we're going to talk about some guiding principles. And our team actually did, you know, there is a cost to us to actually doing this install batch. It is localized. I mean, for lack of of nothing, I mean, it's localized in 44 different languages. So at least the install batch would be localized. But my goal of at the end of the session is to convince you to ensure that this never shows up in your application or your site. I never want to see this on another site again. We can talk at the end about, you know, templates and things like that and things that we could possibly do as a framework team and a tools team to encourage that as well. Well, we're going to talk about some guiding principles of how to avoid this install batch. These are some of the kind of four key principles that you should take into consideration when you're building an app. You need to focus on your content and articulate the value of what the application or the site or whatever it is. I'll use the term application synonymously. But focus on your content and your value, not Microsoft's value, not the value of Silverlight, but the value of your application. That is the key principle here. Reducing the barriers, minimizing any choices, and providing an engaging interaction. Those are the four kind of key principles that you should have in an installation experience. And again, the bottom bullet line kind of summarizes it all, is focus on your app and not the plugin environment. Now, as a trusted brand, you know, Microsoft has a fairly good trusted, I guess that's arguable, but recognizable. How about that? We'll keep it at that. Recognizable brand. So I think it's a good practice to keep, you know, Microsoft Silverlight in your installation experience, because people will know, oh, I am installing something from Microsoft, not from, you know, Joe's ActiveX plugin factory from somewhere else. And we'll show some examples. And in fact, I'll talk to a couple examples right here. So this is actually the old installation badge here. And it was even worse than what we had previously. It just says install Microsoft Silverlight. So this is the bad experience, right? What does this tell me about the URL I just typed in? Absolutely nothing, other than I'm guessing that there's some purple involved here. But it shows me no value to the user. I don't know what I'm about to see. I don't really know what I'm doing. And install Microsoft Silverlight, I don't know why I'm doing that. Compared to this, the same page modified, right? So this is, I typed in prettyininc.msn.com. Now I went to this, and it's a branded image. It shows me the logo. It's engaging to me as the user, and it's providing me some text of why I would want to proceed to the next step to continue this process. And you can't read. I'm guessing you can't read that. But you can see that you don't see the Silverlight logo there. The prominent aspect is the content of the application here and the brand of your organization. And you can see that it's not install Silverlight, it's go to the gallery, right? That's the kind of call to action that would trigger this installation process here. So this is a kind of a better example here. So let's actually take a look at two real-world scenarios here. I'll go on my machine. And one, let's go to the NBC Sunday Night Football. Now, this is the player here. Actually, let me stop this. I'm going to give you a couple tips as I go throughout here in sometimes no particular order. But one of the things that I want to talk about is how can I test, you know, what my experience is like. Now, every browser is different. I've found that either IE or Firefox are actually the simplest ways to do this. You know, I do work for Microsoft, so I'm showing IE here. IE, I actually do think is the easiest way to do this. Firefox does have a good mechanism of disabling plugins as well without installing them. Chrome and Opera, on the other hand, are more challenging to get to this process. But I can easily simulate someone not having Silverlight installed, right? I can just disable the plugin, and I can go and refresh the browser here. Now, if we look at NBC Sports here, we can see at first glance the brand is very prominent, right? So I don't have Silverlight, but I want to watch the Sunday Night Football game. And it's talking to me like, hey, the Sunday Night Football player uses Microsoft Silverlight. That's the only place you see Microsoft's name there. And it talks about, you know, let's kind of cover the value propositions here. It takes less than a minute, so it's telling me, oh, it's not going to take that much time at all. The brand of is familiar to me. And these are the values of what I'm going to see of why I'm going to install this. It's free. I'm getting live HD. I'm getting picture-in-picture, and I'm getting various different camera angles. And watch now, right? This is my call to action. It's not install Silverlight. It's watch now. Another example is Netflix that I like showing. You'll see how we use Netflix in my house as TiVo for my kids. I'm sure there's a bunch of Caillou and stuff here. Yep, see? Look at this. Barney. So if I click on Barney and I don't have Silverlight installed, and I click play, this is probably perhaps the best example of an installation experience that I've seen. Not only is it engaging, but it's very specific to the action I just did. It wasn't, hey, you're using Watch Instantly, you should do this next step. It's saying, you're almost ready to watch the title you just picked. And it shows me the DVD slide, and it talks about the value proposition of what I'm about to do. Again, you know, here's the brand of Microsoft Silverlight. It only takes a minute. Here's the call to action, and here's the benefits that I'm going to see. Okay, so this is the ideal situation of optimizing an installation experience. And these are some of the best practices, and we'll walk through how we can kind of do some of these steps here. So if we go back to the slides. So if we kind of look at those, just to take a snapshot of those, the strong branding, the value proposition of what you're about to do, and a strong call to action. Again, same thing here with the Netflix experience. So there's some basics of how to accomplish this. And these are some of the core basics. And understanding these components within Silverlight, some of them are Silverlight specific, and some of them are what you're actually delivering Silverlight on, right? HTML is what the delivery mechanism is for Silverlight. These are the key things that I'm going to cover in walking through the demo here. The object, I'm talking about the actual Silverlight object tag here, and specifically how the min runtime version parameter works in association with the your application's manifest min runtime version as well. And then the last three things are the things that we're going to demonstrate. These are the three components of Silverlight in our helper libraries that will help you deliver the best installation experience. We have two specific error codes that will help you determine where your user is in the path of their viewing of your application. We do have a default experience, which is horrible, and I'll show it to you and encourage you to turn that flag off. And then the Silverlight JS library, which helps you kind of stitch all this together. Okay, so let's go ahead and move into demonstrating all these. So I have Silverlight. We have it disabled in our IE environment before. Now, we're using the Bookshelf application as well again. Now I'm going to open up the HTML page. Take a little bit to talk about some of the different components here. And actually, let me go ahead and open up the Silverlights. I'm going to open up the actual end result app manifest so we can compare some of that stuff here. And let me just get these away. So Silverlight is delivered through this ActiveX object right here. And there's a couple parameters that are important to look at. This number one is this min runtime version. You never really want to leave this blank. And if you're using the default templates, it never will be blank. This version number that is stamped here is going to be associated with whatever version of the SDK that you have installed. So we had an issue a couple months ago when we released Visual Studio Light Switch. Visual Studio Light Switch shipped a newer version of the Silverlight SDK, and people installed that and to play around with and everything. And then they went back to their Silverlight production applications, compiled them, put a new release up on the web, and all of a sudden people couldn't view the application. And it's because the SDK is the driver for what the unless you specify otherwise, what the default min runtime version is. And there's two places where this is coordinated. So there's the object tag that is basically, this is going to control, do I even attempt to render? I'm going to look and see if I have this minimum version of Silverlight. And if I do, then I'll go ahead and attempt to render the app. But then the second thing that kicks in is in your actual app manifest, right? So here's John's application. And if we look at the actual app manifest, we can see the runtime version attribute at the end here. So this runtime version attribute here is what is put into the app manifest at compile time. So you can see in this case we have a mismatch, right? So I have 50826 in my app manifest, but my min runtime version is 50401. And that's okay, right? So I've set my minimum version on the object tag lower than what is actually this is not okay. The inverse would be true. So if I only had 50401 installed and I tried to view this bookshelf application, the Silverlight would say, oh, the min runtime version is 50401. I have that installed. I'm going to go ahead and attempt to render this. But it will immediately fail, because the actual runtime of the app manifest requires something higher. Now, generally speaking, those two should never be in sync. I just wanted to point those out, that there is some correlation there. But generally speaking, it's something that you shouldn't have to worry about. When we release SDKs, that's when you kind of want to have to pay attention a little bit more. The second attribute is this one right here, auto upgrade. Now, by default in the templates, it's true. And we do that just to make sure that we do at least have some experience for your users. Now, I will encourage you to turn this to false for various reasons, but we'll talk about it in a second. But there is a default experience. And in fact, if I change this, 509.17 is the current shipping version, and let's load up the app here. So I have 50826 installed on my machine. Yes, thank you. So I have auto upgrade turned to true, and I don't have the right version. This is the default upgrade experience. Again, if we look back at the guiding principles, this, in fact, tells me nothing about the application that that I'm about to do. And in fact, I've got two versions of Silverlight here. I've really destroyed the branding of my own experience. I've lost control of my experience to the end user. And if I say remind me later, it really doesn't do anything, right? It just kills the application because I can't run it. So that's the auto upgrade equal true. So if you're not doing any of these things and you're expecting that to be the experience, you should probably change that. And we'll talk about that in a second. So let's talk about how we can optimize this. That install badge, HTML reads like a book, kind of down instead of left, right. And so if Silverlight is not installed, it's going to look here and the browser is going to say object. Oh, I know what object is, so let me look and see. Do I have this type of plugin here? Do I know what this MIME type is? And it'll say, yes, I do, and I proceed to read and understand these. Or it's going to say, no, I don't know what Silverlight is. And it's going to go to the next element, right? And it's going to go, I don't know what this param means nothing to me. This param means nothing to me. This means nothing to me. And then it's going to see this and say, ah, I know what an anchor tag is. I know what to do with that, so I'm going to start rendering that. So your path of least resistance is that you can at least remove the default Silverlight image with something that's more specific for your application by simply providing alternate HTML within the object tag. This is the simplest, cheapest route to do. It's not the best, but it is the cheapest. So we can say, we can do nothing but change this to an image of our own, and I have one in the web project here. And I called it no install. PNG. So now if I run this, and I'm going to have to. Refresh, but let me turn this off, show the uninstalled experience here. And you see, so now my image is replaced. So this is, it's still a single image with the hyperlink directly to the installer. This is not bad, but it's kind of showing me, at least my attempt, not a graphic design. So my attempt was that I'm showing kind of a rendering of what the application might look like, kind of 50% opacity perhaps or something like that, and some type of message, right? See, this is my A, lame attempt at humor, and B, my demonstration of the guiding principles, right? Like, hey, here's the call to action. You want to join our book club, click here to join now rather than install Silverlight. Now, ideally, you probably want to put the brand recognition of Microsoft on there so that when the Silverlight installer comes up, it's no surprise that it actually is from Microsoft and not from your application or something like that. So that's one way to do it. Now, that's the non-installed experience. The having alternate HTML within the object tag is the easiest way to do the non-installed experience. Now, let's talk about the upgrade experience. So let me keep that browser open so we can just refresh it rather than. Okay, so let me turn Silverlight back on, and we're going to kind of simulate. Not only am I not showing much Silverlight code, but I'm also going to be brave and like going to be uninstalling and installing things here on stage. It's just like never recommended. Okay, so we got our application running. Now let's simulate that we want to require a later version. So I'm going to say that this app requires 5.0.9.1.7, which is the current shipping version. And I'm going to say that I don't want the auto upgrade to happen. So by saying I'm requiring a higher minimum runtime version, and I don't want you to see the default auto upgrade experience, the onus is now on me, the developer, to provide the messaging for what to do next. Okay, and luckily, there is a friend that can help you out here, and it's called the onError method on the plugin. So we've talked about the non-installed experience. Now we're talking about the upgrade. How would you handle presenting the upgrade to the user? And so what you can do on the app, on the object is you can specify. We have two, we have several, but two key methods: onError and onload. And we'll talk about onload in a second. That help drive the best installation experience. So in onError, we can point to a JavaScript function. Now I'm just going to use just straight up JavaScript. You could probably do a lot of things easier and better with something like jQuery to do some fancier stuff or some easier document manipulation here. Let me just grab a script for the sake of time here. And we're going to handle that on error message. Because what the object is going to tell us is there's two key error messages that the actual Silverlight ActiveX object or the plugin delivers to the end user in the event of an upgrade required or some other issue is happening with the plugin. And those error messages, and by the way, everything I'm talking about, I'm going to be pointing you to a white paper that describes this guidance in full with complete sample code as well. So I don't expect you to memorize these error codes. They're well documented. But there's two key error codes, 8001 and 8002. 8001 is basically an error saying you have a version of Silverlight installed, but not the right one that this application is going to require. This is the upgrade scenario. And 8002 is you have the right version, but for some reason I can't load it, so I'm going to ask you to restart the browser. So we can handle that. We basically get, on the onError method, we get the sender, which is the actual Silverlight object, the host, and we can get information to that. More specifically, we get the arguments as well, which is going to be the actual method for, or the arguments for that method. In this case, is the onError, which is going to provide us an error type and an error code. Now, there's other error types that may happen. That's why I'm just canceling those out in this example here. But I can say, hey, if this error code is 8001, that's why I know it's an upgrade, I'm going to put some other text in there. And now we're going to keep our, so we have our no install experience there. We're going to keep that in there. That's going to always be there. We've now said, oh, we've upgraded our app, so we're going to deploy 5.0.9.1.7, and we're going to handle that error message here in 8001. So let me save that. And so you can see, it looks no different, but I'm doing the cheap version again and just replacing the to say, hey, we've upgraded our system, so now you have to upgrade your. The link basically goes to the installer again. Now you can get even fancier and do other things here, or maybe you want to provide a complete 100% alternate experience, redirect to somewhere else. You can certainly do that. But that's one of the easiest methods of handling this. Now let me talk about the restart real quick, because it's actually somewhat hard to demonstrate live without. Really wasting your time with a bunch of uninstalls, but let me talk about it for a second, and why a restart might be required. Now, on new installations of Silverlight, a restart, generally speaking, isn't required. So if the user doesn't have Silverlight and you provide a great installation experience and they click install, most browsers will be able to refresh and load plugins. A restart is usually required in the upgrade scenarios. So if I have version 3 of Silverlight installed and I actually go to a site that has the object tag, because I have a version of Silverlight installed, that plugin is being loaded to at least, you know, read the properties and attempt to render. Because the plugin's loaded in the browser, now when I install a, you know, let's say I complete the upgrade process, the reason why an browser restart might be required is because the browser has already loaded the plugin runtime, and it's loaded version 3. It can't unload and reload a different version of the plugin. So that's why the browser has to be restarted, so that way it loads the right version of the plugin. Now, that's not all instances. Again, most of the time it is in the upgrade experiences, and some browsers are actually smarter in handling loading and unloading of plugins. But handling the error code is the safest way to ensure that you can do that. Now, the second thing we can do is, this is using the error method, right? The second thing we can do is we have in the templates as well and in the SDK this object called Silverlight.js. Now, just a real quick note, when you open it up in Visual Studio, you'll see that it's pretty heavily obfuscated and crunched down to line of code. We do that to assist you, and when you deploy it, it's not 60K, it's only 4K or 8K. I don't remember how much it is. But people have always asked, it's unreadable. How can I actually debug this? Again, in the resources of my slide, I'll point you to the link. We do have a debug version. We just don't ship it with the SDK, but there is a debug version that's kind of human readable that you can certainly use. And we actually host this on our CDN. If you're like a high volume customer and you want to make sure that you're always using the latest version of Silverlight.js, we have a CDN version that you could leverage as well. But it is a tool that will enable you to do perhaps some smarter things or be able to handle these error codes a little bit easier. So let's change this to use that method. And let me just steal my snippets. And we'll replace what we have here with using the Silverlight.js instead of handling the error code specifically. Now, the first thing we have to do, though, is I mentioned that there was actually two methods that you can leverage. So instead of onError, I'm going to say I want a new method called onload. And we're going to point to another function called onSilverlightLoad. And so onSilverlightLoad, we're basically going, I have some kind of preset up constants here. So I'm tagging, you know, hey, I want the latest version. This is kind of, think of this as my min runtime version here. And I'm providing some HTML for a restart prompt, an upgrade prompt, and you finished upgrading here. So those are kind of some constants that I'll be using here. Now, I'm still using Silverlight on error here, so I can actually comment that out. And what we have here is we have Silverlight on load, and by using this coming from the Silverlight.js file, we have several helper functions that are available to us here. We have this function that basically says, is version available on load? And this is going to use the value of the min runtime version and say, do I have that version, and is it available to me on load? Remember, I talked about the browser restart and how things are loaded at the initial runtime, and if you do an upgrade, it may not be loaded. So this will fire off and kind of set up some other wire-up events for me, most specifically these two, on restart required and on upgrade required. So these are essentially some nicer helper methods than just handling the error message specifically. The end result of the user experience is the same. But this is a more prescribed way of doing the check for it. So we have a lot of logic built into is version available on load for platform checks, and to actually also attempt to reload the browsers if available. As I mentioned, some browsers allow you to do plugin refreshes where some don't. So this sample code effectively does the same thing. We have some extra code here to do one other thing, that if we do prompt for an upgrade, we have this function that's called upgrade clicked. Now, if we look at that, the Silverlight.js file also provides this function called get Silverlight, where you pass in a version that you want to get. And it knows where to fetch that from on the Microsoft servers. Now, the benefit of using this get Silverlight function is it by default has a wait function in it. So if I use this and I say get Silverlight, it's going to do an HTTP request to get the plugin, and then it's going to trigger off a wait function. I think it's every 3 seconds. That's going to basically call this every 3 seconds now. That's going to essentially say, okay, I've gotten Silverlight. I'm waiting for the user to install. I'm just going to start this cycle of checking to see if it's been installed and if it's available for me, if it's been loaded. So again, this is helpful for the initial experience where I don't have Silverlight installed. I can click that. I can show a message saying, hey, you're installing, and then that function's running in the background, and when the installation is complete, it will just go ahead and render my application. If it's not, then we'll see this event fired, and it'll say, we can show our upgrade prompt at that point as well. So there's a value in using these helper methods. I'm not going to run these just because they're the same. And just for sake of time, I want to make sure I do some other things here. The other thing that I wanted to talk about, which is somewhat perhaps a controversial issue of what I might recommend to you. So this is we do have a helper library. So we have a supported matrix for Silverlight, right? We officially support Silverlight on certain platforms and certain browsers. Now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't work on other platforms and other browsers. I'll use Opera very specifically. Opera is able to render Silverlight content. They've actually done work in their browsers to make sure that Silverlight works as well. It is yet to hit our official test matrix, so it's not officially supported by Microsoft. Now, we do provide a script that allows you, if you choose, to verify that if your users are visiting your site, if they fall in line with the supported browser matrix. It's another script that we actually don't ship in the SDK. You have to kind of hunt down and find it yourself. I can just show you a sample site that I use to show it. And it's called the User Agent Helper. And basically, the User Agent Helper relies on, guess what, the user agent. And it's going to compare the user agent, the version that you're asking if it is supported, as well as the platform that the script is being running on. So here we're on IE9, where I'm asking for Silverlight version 4. And yes, Silverlight's installed. Yes, it is. It's supported on the platform, and this specific version is supported. However, if I went and opened up Chrome, and we just started officially supporting Chrome in Silverlight 4, and I run this, we can see, so I'm running Chrome version 4, and I see if using this script, yes, everything passes. But if I was on a Silverlight 3 application, my script would tell me, no, this is not a platform. This platform is not supported, even though that it's installed. So you can use this script if you need to be explicitly strict to the platform support matrix. I would caution you on being smarter and not using that, but ensuring that your application runs on what you feel is your own supported matrix. So if your traffic shows a lot of Opera users, then you should test your application on Opera. And you know, our test matrix will grow as market penetration for browsers grow as well. So that script is available, and I'll point you to it. But I always make a note about it, but I don't necessarily think that it's required. The other thing that I want to talk about is the Silverlight blue balls. How many people know what I'm talking about here? Okay. Probably not the best description, but this is the preloader. So if you've ever gone to a Silverlight application that's of any substantial size, you get the 98% loading with the blue balls in a circle just kind of animating around. It is the bane of every designer's existence, I think. So everybody hates it. It is, as well, something very easy to replace of your own custom image. And in fact, when I went to the NBC site before I disabled the plugin, you saw their own custom preloader. Again, big brand image. It said loading. You can do that as well, and it's not that difficult to do. So I have here, let me just show you that experience. It's going to be, might be hard to show because we're on my local machine, so simulating latency is going to be hard. But I have this chunk of XAML here. Now, it's not a user control XAML. You can see that I'm just starting with grid, but it is XAML. Now, the only restrictions in the preloader that we have today, we call this a splash screen source, and I'll show the parameter in a moment. And the splash screen source, you can use XAML. But you can't use .NET, right? So I can't have any code behind. So it's got to be all XAML. And only certain elements. So there are, and the elements that you can't use are documented as well. But I have a simple rectangle fill here and a text block, which I'm going to show some image. So now I can go in here. And I'm going to add two parameters. I'm going to say, I want a splash screen source, and I'm going to point it to this file here. Now I'm just calling it .txt. It can be .xaml or anything. I have some beta stuff for my IDE, so I didn't want it to get confused. And then I'm going to wire up this event called onSource download progress finished. And it's a simple function. Is going to report the progress of the actual zap that's being requested in its download. So the sender is the actual object itself, the Silverlight object, and I can use a function called findName to find an element that I have. So I have a rectangle called progress rectangle, xName equal progress rectangle, and then a percentage text. So I can say every time you see a progress update, which is going to happen frequently, I want you to set the width of that progress to the width of my rectangle is 150, so it's a decimal value. And then I want you to say loading and then the percentage. So I'm just doing some quick math there. And so now when we see this here, let me just cancel out these. And let's see if we can do a good job simulating this, make sure I have everything in place. So it might happen fairly quickly, but instead of the blue balls, we should see a progress bar indicator. Maybe. Yeah, it's happening too quickly. So let me see if I can clear the cache real quick. Yeah, we'll try that one more time if it doesn't work. There we go. So if you caught it in a glimpse in the upper left-hand corner. Look, there we go. All right, so it's, you know, and again, I'm not a designer, so it should be a much better experience. But the idea is that it's one function that you can add to there to provide a more customized loading experience for your application. Oddly enough, I'll pick on Netflix for a little bit. They have the best installation experience, but they use the blue balls, which kind of bothers me, so... It's a very simple thing that can provide a very quick aesthetic and a much more rewarding experience for the user and a much more confident experience for the end user as well. Okay, let me go back to the slides real quick to talk about some other things briefly here. So we talked about basically the key elements of understanding the elements of where your user's at and what you can use. Namely, the two error messages that you can quickly handle in the onError method, 8001 and 8002, tell you kind of where you're at, or using the SilverlightJS script provided to wire up those events very simply. And then with caution, I say use the supported user agent. It is very strict against our supported matrix down to the version, so if you need that support, you can certainly use it. It's available. It's actually both SilverlightJS and the user agent script are 100% open source under the permissive license, so if you don't like how they're doing things, you can change them. Here's the kind of the flow of states that you'll see. You know, a user's the site, they'll either see the content, they either have to install something, and then they can refresh the browser, or your script can automatically refresh, right? They'll have to click to upgrade and restart their browser, or perhaps they already did an upgrade, they haven't restarted their browser since, or perhaps they have an incompatible configuration, such as, links or something like that. We have the other concept of optimizing an installation experience, right? So that's the kind of in-browser to the plugin. But there's also the user has everything correct, and now you're developing your out-of-browser application. So we provide a lot of APIs for you to do this the right way. Don't assume that the user is going to understand how to install the application, and don't show UI in your application if it's intended to be an out-of-browser application. Provide helpful information if the applications installed. Right? So if the user has installed the application, but for some reason they bookmarked the page where they installed it from, they go back, don't show them the install message again, or don't allow Silverlight to provide the default message again, which is basically the app's already installed. Provide something more meaningful to them. And then the last two bullet points are key here. Sign your apps for out-of-browser applications. And this is what I'm talking about is digital signature applications. It provides a trusted installation experience, whereas when they install the application, it allows you to put your own logo, and it actually puts your trusted publisher information versus a logo with a, you know, a warning sign and the publisher says unverified. Which one would you rather install? Something that says company A is the site you're going to, or something that says, I don't know who this is, and I'm going to show a warning sign, right? I mean, you're going to want to pick the trusted one. And plan for auto update. So even if you think you're done with your application, please, please, please put at least one line of code in there that does the auto update check. Because you only get one chance, right? The second the user installs the application, if you haven't planned for releasing updates, then your update path is now, please uninstall and reinstall the application. We provide an auto update mechanism for out-of-browser applications. You should use it. You should plan on using it. Again, at least at one point in your code so that when you plan on using it later, you can easily do that. So let's take a look at what these tips are real quick. So we have our application here. And I'm going to go in the main page here and in this. And I've just added some quick XAML here that basically is an install button and a message that indicates of whether it's already installed. And then this begins the content of the application itself. Now, if I go into the actual application code, there's two APIs that are available to us. We have install state that tells me whether or not it's installed or not, and whether or not it's running out of the browser. So I'm basically saying, hey, if it's installed but it's not running out of the browser, I'm going to tell the user that. I'm going to say, you've already got it. Go look here for it. Otherwise, I'm going to show them a very specific installation experience here. And so let's rebuild this. And hopefully run it. Maybe not. Button click. We actually need to put the method for the actual install. And we should be all done here. So our application will load. Our application is intended to be, this is my preloader error here, intended to be an out-of-browser application. So you can see that I'm not showing, I probably should have wiped out this UI, but I'm showing a very specific message here that says, hey, you should install this application. I install it. This is not a trusted application, so I don't have the icon. And now I have my application installed. Now that I have it installed, if I refresh this page, you can see that I'm using the API. And this is horrible. I'm admitting that this is horrible UI, but I'm at least detecting that and saying, hey, you already have this. Look for the shortcut on your desktop, or you can remove this application. Perhaps a better example is the eBay Simple Lister. And the eBay Simple Lister is an actual Silverlight out-of-browser application. And if we look here, I'm going to say I agree to these policies. Here's the install button. And if I right-click, this is the actual application right here. This is the Simple Lister. But they're using the APIs to detect, oh, you don't have it installed, and you're running in browser, so I'm going to show you only the install experience. So now when I click install, and I have the application, and here's the actual eBay application. So what I wanted to point out is that this application here is exactly the same one as this. It's just they're using the APIs to detect and provide the best installation experience for the end user there. So very simple to do, very simple principles to follow to use that API to do that. So let's go back to the slides just for summary here. A quick message on enterprise deployment. You can do enterprise deployment. We do provide, if you're using Windows Software Update services, we do provide the GUIDs in order to manage that process. We also provide guidance on how to do it if you're not using Windows software, using other IT types, you can do that. With enterprise deployment, you get certain methods that you can control as an IT organization. These are a list of some of them. So you can, again, manage your installation experience within the walls of your organization if you do so fit. So in summary, I just wanted to point out that when you're creating an application, you're making an investment in that application. The customers are yours, not ours. So make sure that your content is king, and make sure your brand is represented, and your ideal experience is defined for the end user. It's not that difficult to do. It's very few steps. We do have resources. There's a white paper that provides code on how to do this the easiest way, and an example of the absolute best way with helper methods that actually do all the waiting and different various prompts and stuff like that. If you have a question, my inbox is always open. There's my email. Feel free to send me a note. I thank you again for coming to the Firestarter. I will be here throughout the rest of the day, so if you have questions about this or anything else, please ask myself or another Silverlight team member that's out there with one of the red lanyards. So thank you again for attending the Firestarter, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, please.